Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep into the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I am Bob Haston with my great friend, Sean Bowles. Sean, we have our old friend Shay Bynes on today, don't we?
We do, and it's going to light a fire in your spirit because we're talking about both, you know, to Shay, of course, and then something that we all need help with, which is how to lead from grace, not the grind, which is her whole message. And she's inspired a generation of kingdom-minded entrepreneurs, so many, like thousands of them. And Shay Bynes is the chief fire igniter. She's a pioneer in faith-driven business movement and the author of best-selling book, Grace Over Grind. And she has another book she's going to talk about as well. But first, Bob and I want to have a real talk about something we hear all the time. Bob, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, we're going to be talking about, can you be vocal about your faith at work? Should you be vocal about your faith at work? Is it a sin not to be vocal about your faith at work? How do we do it, Sean?
Well, let's dive into the question, because when and how should we be vocal about faith in the workplace? You are one of my favorite people on this because you went through a season I want to ask you about where you were vocal. And then you actually, like now, it's just the culture of your business where you guys, just through the culture itself, it preaches Christ daily. But not every believer is called to plaster of faith all over their brand or bring the Bible to every boardroom. And we celebrate those who are and who can. But sometimes it's bold and out loud, and other times it's subtle behind the scenes and influence.
Yeah. In my experience at my company, when I was young and first in business, I had, you know, in the late 70s, the Christian fish on my van and my business card. And I had a scripture. And when I wrote business plans, I put a scripture on it and, you know, to the glory of God. And it was all exciting. And, you know, as we grew and as we matured, we just let sort of our culture become the driving force of the company. And for us, we took the Christian insignias off and the scripture off, and we just built our business on Christian principles. Our values, our ethics, and our goals all reflected it, which was in-house to our employees and sometimes banks. But for everyone, it's different. So, Sean, I thought it would be great just to, you know, begin this conversation about what does it look like and how do we move forward?
Yeah, I mean, the faith-forward companies like Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby, I celebrate those. Even In-N-Out hamburgers who have scripture on their cups. You know, it's amazing when you feel to do that. But there is plenty of time, and probably the norm is going to be people who are in the world, not of the world. And that's a contrast. And especially where I've spent a lot of my years in LA, when you're walking out an entertainment business or when you're walking out like any kind of business in LA and you're Christian, that is faith forward just by being a Christian. You don't have to do anything overt because it's such a contrast to how other people live. And I love Colossians 3:23 where it says, whatever you do, work with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Mm-hmm. And it changes how you show up no matter what your job title is. So I think that there's a benefit to being faith forward. And I think there's, you know, I work in the faith-based industry now with faith-based media. At the same time, there's many people who are in mainstream world who don't feel that to be a light, they have to be a vocal light about the semantics of Christianity. They feel like they're supposed to be like Christ. And I think we need to celebrate both. I think we need to say, wow, what Hobby Lobby is doing and is incredible. They have Sundays off. They're setting they're in the top three home goods companies in the world. and they're missing a day a week and they're still in the top three. You know, that's pretty epic. People can see that God's with them because of that, that there's something different about them. But then there's plenty of CEOs and companies that are doing it right who you would never know externally that it's because of their Christianity.
It's interesting. Like, can you be an entrepreneur without being an evangelist?
Yeah.
Right. Do you have to be an evangelist? And the answer is no. Like, think about in the Christian body, how many evangelists are there that are willing to go stand on a street corner, you know, sit a soapbox up and tell people they're sinners and they need to come to Jesus? That's a very rare amount of people. And in our businesses, when we're trying to make a profit and change people's lives through income, there are businesses like you've said that have been very overt about their Christianity, and I applaud them. I think it's amazing. And you know, Sean, you and I love The Chosen, and we love The House of David. And all of a sudden, these overt Christian films are coming out, and we're watching them because finally, we and our wives and our children can watch these shows that have faith and have a message. So I think as entrepreneurs, however God created you, you can decide how you want to share your faith through business.
Yeah, I think probably some people are even uncomfortable with you saying that. Well, isn't everybody an evangelist? Well, we're all called to evangelize, but not everybody's going to spend the majority of their time evangelizing. And that's what, you know, we're saying through this is that we're all called to share our faith.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's our primary occupation to share our faith. I think there's a big difference of that, meaning like it's always an incentive that we carry every day with every conversation that there's something that we're carrying Jesus forward in. But some, you know, I like what we think St. Francis said. We're not sure if it was, you know, if he said it or not, but I preach Christ daily and sometimes I use words.
Yeah.
Our example and how we live our lives, the way we do life with our wives and our kids and our, you know, our employees. Like I've seen how you are with your employees. I remember one of the times we were with some of your employees that Sri and I were, it was the first time Sri and I had been with you and Lauren with your employees. And I was like, wow, these people, yeah, I don't know how many of them were even Christians, but you guys have provided something that's so special. It's like they would have a hard time ever leaving you because you treat them so well and you work through things so well with them. And I think that when you provide that kind of environment, it's hard for people when they're going through crisis, especially when they go, man, my life doesn't work. Whose life is working? Oh, my boss's life's working. Mm-hmm. What's different about his life? Oh, he loves Jesus. And you start to have these conversations because it's an intuitive way to find God versus that more direct route. And so I think it's an interesting conversation. I have one friend who runs a business in LA, and he said, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to share Christ all year long. So I invited everyone in my business to come to church on Easter. And then I started doing that every year. And that's the only time I ever feel that it's easy and safe for our environment, because it's so like, you know, everybody's whatever faith you want to be in LA, and they get offended easily. Mm-hmm. It's the only time they never get offended. So I just asked them all to come to church, and now half my company's been saved, or like the, I think it was 7 years or 8 years. Yeah. Because they come to church with me once a year, and then some of them stay, you know. And he's like, but I haven't felt day to day. But he goes, man, they come to me with their biggest problems that before they go to a counselor, before they go to their best friend, they come to me with like life decisions. They come to me like, it's kind of that Job thing. It was like when he said, man, people would come to me when they wanted to make a decision or when they were looking at, you know, problem solving and these kinds of things. There's something about the wisdom that you carry in your Christianity that people are drawn to.
Well, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I mean, that's just what your friend in LA has done. He's let his light shine before. And I love the fact that he's invited his company on Easter. That's a beautiful story.
Well, and the last thought I have about it is like, there's not been permission for some people to be stealth, like stealth bombers. And in the army of God, mm-hmm. there's those, you know, there's war times that are like very overt, and then there's war times that are very covert. And I think a lot of the people who were in the entertainment industry or media world were covert for so long because they couldn't be too loud. They couldn't be too expressive. The Chosen couldn't have happened 20 years ago. There was no room for it. There was such a humanistic spirit in the entertainment industry and as a whole, but something's come of age and in season. So there could be these overt things now. So I think sometimes we have to be covert so we're going to have the influence and gain the influence. And I think of Jesus in his life between the temple and when he started his ministry, we have all these missing years that we don't know what he was doing. And yet we know his he was completely faithful because he grew in favor, Luke 2:52, with God and man. So there's something that was happening, that was growing in him, but there was no scripture about it. There's no storytelling about it. And so you have to look at that we have those years sometimes. We have those hidden or missing seasons where people don't see the story of God in us, but there's something in the growing, the authority and the favor with God and man that happens in those times.
That's so good. Well, wow. Nice. That was a good talk. I hope our listeners and viewers, hey, send us your comments if you like what we said or have questions. We love to answer questions. So, Sean, why don't you intro Shay?
Well, Shay is, man, talk about the grace of kind of not being a self-missile. She is not a self-missile. She talks about grace and leadership, and I'm going to introduce you to Shay Bynes, who's been a fire starter for faith-driven leaders all around the world. Affectionately known as the Chief Fire Igniter, Shay is a speaker, a business advisor, a best-selling author of the book Grace Over Grind, and her newest release, Grace Under Pressure, a story about leadership and the hidden cost of ambition. She's had over 25 years of experience, including a background in corporate world and corporate leadership at a Fortune 500 company. And over a decade as a full-time entrepreneur, Shay brings deep insight and contagious joy to everything she does. Since 2012, she's impacted over 1 million people globally through writing, teaching, and mentoring, helping leaders cultivate grace and power cultures where people and performance thrive. So we are so excited to hear this pioneer, this woman of God, this woman of business talk to us today. I want to invite you to come and grow in the prophetic and spiritual gifts, and you have to do this intentionally or you won't see the results you want. We have a powerful tool for you called the Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community. We do 4-week live courses with amazing speakers, and we have a prophetic nurturing community as well. And one of my favorite things that we do is online activation and connect groups with our pastors, so you actually have equipping opportunities to grow that are real time. You get to practice what you learn in classes. On top of that, I get to be your monthly prophetic accelerator coach and teach you how to go on a journey in the prophetic that maybe you've never been on before. And if you have been, you're going to get impartation. You get to ask your questions. You get real prayer. And the atmosphere that I said, I think, is one of the best you can have when pursuing hearing God's voice. 2025 is going to be our best year yet. Upcoming courses are all about how to grow deeper in the prophetic. We're going to talk about breaking curses in with the demonic, going after words of knowledge. And we have teachers who are going to give you the secrets of prayer. And we're going to help you move forward in God and all that he has for you. We care about your spiritual growth. And I know you care about it too. So come join us.
Well, welcome back. We're here with our great friend, Shay Bynes. Shay, we're so happy to have you.
It is good to be back.
Well, I'm so glad you're here because we've had you on before and you had quite the story. And so I want to encourage everybody who's never listened to her episode, go back and listen to her. I think it was in season 2, if I'm right. And you come alive in front of the camera and you can tell things that are like your story that is so impartable. It just gives us all faith. But give us kind of a little 2-minute rundown, but there's so much happening today we want to talk about today. But go for it. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know we had the bio just now, but as far as transitioning from the corporate world and the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So after college, I started a career in technology, worked a corporate career for about 10, almost 11 years. The last year of that, the Lord gave me a word that I would be leaving my job. That was a surprise to me. I didn't know what I would be doing when I left that job, but sure enough, a series of God encounters led to me leaving my corporate job. Gosh, now that was in 2010. And so after that, started in full-time entrepreneurship unexpectedly. And then a couple of years later, another series of divine encounters led me to start Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. And so with Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur is all around really inspiring, teaching, mentoring, advising entrepreneurs who really want to do business in partnership with God. At that time, Kingdom Driven Entrepreneurship wasn't like a thing that people were talking about much. So very much a pioneer in that space at that time in 2012. And if I fast forward a bit, still co-founder of Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. My husband became CEO almost 5 years ago, actually. And so he's been doing that. By the way, that was also a surprise. Like all of the things, like we would get like a little bit of notice, maybe like 6 months of notice around something. And then God would start stirring it, then confirming it. And then boom, it's done. That's kind of the story of our life, right? And so my husband's CEO of Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur now. And so once he took that position, which I'm sure we'll dig into because that was quite a transition for us, then I started doing more advising. It also released me to do more speaking and writing and you know, really focusing on expressing this grace message and now even in an expanded space to a mixed faith audience. And so it has been quite the adventure.
Wow.
It's so interesting, Shay. You have this message about grace and business and entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
But let's talk about inviting Phil in, how that worked, and I assume you're still married, right?
We are very happily married still. 26 years almost.
Oh, yeah, I know. And because you're a powerful woman, and so you founded this, it was your baby, and then God asked you, let's take this next step. How was that for you?
Well, it was interesting because in November 2019, I was starting to get visions and seeing myself in a different position. I didn't know what was going on. I saw myself in rooms. I was advising people. I saw people in government in the room, people in business in the room, people in the local church and nonprofit sectors in the room. And I felt like I was advising somewhere in the space, right? And so I kept getting these visions over and over again. And I'd be like, well, I don't know what this is. I hadn't been doing that work. And I was like, I feel like I'm not going to be the CEO for very much longer. And so I told my best friend, who was also our prophetic strategist at the time, and I just kind of laughed about it because I was like, I don't know who's going to be the next CEO, but I just feel like God's doing something. A handful of months later, about 4 months later, we're in a meeting and I'm agitated now because now I've seen lots of visions around things. And I'm like, who is going to be the next CEO? And I'm sitting here in this meeting with her and our COO at the time and, you know, kind of griping around it. And she says, you know, Phil's prepared to be the next CEO.
Wow.
And she had seen it the year before and hadn't told me until that moment. And wow. I laughed. And so did the COO, because neither of us saw that. And we're just like, really? I'm not sure. Did God tell him? Because I'm not sure how that's going to go, right? And so it was like in that moment, that was March of 2020, I get this word that it's going to be my husband. And I was like, Lord, if that's what you're doing, you got to confirm that for me. And more importantly, you got to confirm that for your son. Yeah. I won't be the one to say, honey, I know you've been a massage therapist with your practice for 20 some odd years. I just kind of pulled you on the team the last handful of months. With a role that we didn't even know what it was going to look like. But yeah, God's called you to be the next CEO. I was not looking to have that conversation at all. So I asked the Lord to reveal that to him. And he had a series of encounters that led to eventually a dream that was so symbolic and told him exactly what he needed to know. And at that time, which was just about 6 months later, he said, yes, he'd be the next CEO. And the next month he started.
Wow.
That was November 2020.
Now, I want to go back into more story, but before we get there, like you've used a lot of language that I know some of our audience is super familiar with. And some of our audience is like, man, this woman hears from God a lot. But you teach people who are entrepreneurs and in career spaces to really listen to the Holy Spirit, like to be in the presence and to not make decisions just based on biblical convictions alone, but also to be presence driven by the presence of God. So talk about just kind of some of the, what you've been doing in this entrepreneurship space so that people can get a grid. Then we'll go back into the story.
Yeah. And so intimacy with God, totally the foundation, right? And the thing is I understand what this walk is like to begin to learn to hear from God, because I had to walk that out just in the handful of months leaving a corporate career to then, you know, leading Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur when I didn't even know what one was, right? And so it starts with intimacy with God. And for me, it really was the beginning step of saying, you know, God does seem to care about what I do in business. He has wisdom for me in business, and he has a heart for what I'm doing in business instead of me being so compartmentalized. And so I just kind of started I would read the scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to like enlighten me, help me understand this more. I start asking God questions about the work that I was doing, his heart for the people that I was serving. And I didn't know for sure, you guys, if it was God. I didn't know for sure. But I would take steps as if in faith, and I just started to like exercise this faith muscle. And I was just, it would be in small things, not massive, major decisions, in small things. And I started to just kind of develop a rhythm of walking out with God. And so because I came from a very strategic, you know, if it didn't make sense, I'm not doing it kind of background. I was a computer scientist, you know, very meticulous and then a project planner. I know what it's like to be kind of a control freak and wanting to plan all the things and learning how to surrender to wisdom that's well beyond what I would even know myself. But it took just like exercising the faith muscle over and over again until I built confidence that in the truth that I do hear God.
What you said about, you know, being a control freak, it's hard when you're an entrepreneur, that's what you have to be. And then, you know, hopefully very soon thereafter, you learn, hey, God's in control. And if I partner with him and listen to him, he knows more than me.
Way more.
And and as we recognize that, because you and I both run into somebody who says, I'm a self-made man or woman. And you're like, let me tell you why you're not.
Right.
And Sean has this really beautiful story about a businessman who said he didn't hear from God, and he reverse engineered it and showed him that he did. But one of the things that I love about you is you're giving people this language about how they hear from God, and it's filled with a grace message. Where did the grace message come in your life? How did you get it?
Yeah. So that started, it was funny enough, it happened after I started Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. So it was about 6 months afterward. And I was in the church that I was in at the time. And our pastor was giving a message on Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. So that's when Jesus is saying, come to me, all of those who are weary, and I will give you rest. It's the whole, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, so set of scriptures. But that day he read it in the Message Bible, which I had never heard before. And it said, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. And when I heard that, it was like lightning and water at the same time. And so for me, it was just like, that's an answer for me. I caught that with God, keep company with, work with, walk with. Okay, I knew something was missing. So at that point, my prayer was, Jesus, show me that. Like, what's an unforced rhythm of grace? What does this look like in business? And I just started walking that out and sharing what I was experiencing. Like, you can go back in my podcasting history way back and hear the beginnings of that revelation and that story of just starting to practice walking it out and sharing it with others as I went along.
That's so cool. I love when I hear you share about that, because it's so in you. It's so deep. It's so part of your identity now.
Yeah, I couldn't even do the other version. Only the Message Bible one.
I know. I've always loved the Message version. When I first read it, I think it was the first month that came out, I read that. That was the main scripture that out of the whole Message version that got me. And then some of the Psalms got me as well. Well, let's go back into your story now, because some things have happened. Some shifts have happened. Yeah. Tell us what God's doing.
Yeah. So an unexpected shift for me was around this grace message. So when I got that, of course, that's rooted all in Jesus. And so I'm focusing and I'm serving kingdom-driven entrepreneurs. And so for me, the message was a message for believers. And so that was my intent. And I continued to do that. Fast forward to maybe 2021 or so, a friend of mine had made a comment to me. It seemed like kind of an off comment, but he was talking to me about how he could see Grace Over Grind being a message that could go to a mixed faith audience. When he said that, I was just like, no, grace is Jesus. No, I don't see that. You know, I couldn't see that at all. In fact, I felt like it would almost be like I'm backstepping Jesus to go take this thing that just transformed me so much, you know, in partnership with him. And then, you know, trying to explain it, you know, in a different way without scripture backing it up, you know? And so I just kind of dismissed it. But then shortly after that, then there was like these inklings, you know, where you get like a seed of a thing, a comment someone says, and then all of a sudden the Lord starts talking to me about it. Then I start getting vision around a whole nother book, which is actually that one, Grace Under Pressure, which is taking the Grace Over Grind message and delivering it in allegory form in a fictional story with a short nonfiction section at the back that has no scripture. Wow. And in the process of writing that, it was like when I knew that book was the assignment and that he was expanding this message, it started with that book, just like Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. It started with the book. With this one, this starts with a book. And as I was writing the book, it was like he was giving me language for how I could talk about the gifts of grace in a way that's really accessible, whether someone has the same faith background as I do. And so in the process of writing that, it was like opening things up. And so since then, you know, now it's like the message is, I want to see grace seen as a serious force in business, period, right? Regardless of the faith background. I want people to see the gifts expressed of grace all across business, because it transforms the leaders and it transforms the cultures that they're creating as well. And so now I've got a heart for this message in a bigger way. So it's been so much fun. So I'm still an evangelist for the message, but even with an expanded audience, and there's so much goodness to come in that. Wow. Creating frameworks from an advisory and strategy perspective as well that can be embraced by those who are not necessarily Christian, and as well as those who are. And so it's quite a stretch and quite an adventure. It's been fun.
So unpack that a little bit for us, because we all know grace is unmerited favor.
Right.
But now you're talking about it. You're talking about it as a broader message, and
yes.
We want people to get your book. Yeah. Just give us a little teaser.
Yeah.
No, can I say this too? Just as far as like, I feel like once we know Jesus, we start to see all the times before we were saved.
Yeah.
Where he wove himself into our story and our journey. And as we even move towards things that he was actually putting in our lives that we may not have the God consciousness that it was him, then as we move towards things that we're blessed because we moved through, he's always moving towards us. He's always loving us before we're saved. So I love that you're giving away a message of grace even before somebody has the God consciousness to fully operate in intimacy with God to apprehend it that way.
Yes.
But when they look back after they meet Jesus, they look back and they're like, man, you were all along with me. When I listened to Shay Bynes and when I these kinds of things, I just love that. So go ahead and give the message. But I just want to say, for those in the audience who are like, how can you do that? How could God not do it? If grace is free, how could he not give us components of grace for our lives even before we know him?
That's right. So if I go back to grace over grind, so I would break down the gifts of grace, right? As opposed to the grind, because it's grace over grind, right? And so I talk about abundant rest. I talk about transcendent peace. I talk about divine favor. I talk about sustainable rhythms. I talk about faithful collaboration, which is an accelerator. I talk about kingdom impact. So I talk about those six gifts in grace over grind. When it came to grace under pressure, I was like, Lord, I can't do the divine favor thing. That's you and that's all your favor. I can't do that. But like, what can I do with these other ones, right? I can't say kingdom impact. There is impact, right? I could play with that one. But what I did is for grace under pressure, I focus on the gift of rest, the gift of peace, the gift of collaboration, and the gift of sustainable rhythms. And I have found a way to have language around that. Like I could say in grace under pressure, listen deeply for clarity, pausing before reacting, getting in quiet spaces and listening for what. So I will drop things here and there as seeds. And so, and I do that through the story of my protagonist, the characters in the story, but then even from a teaching point on the backside of the book. And then even with frameworks for walking people through it as an advisor, I'm able to use language that meets them where they are. But that's just practice for me, to be clear, like, because I didn't think that that's what I could do at first, which is why when my friend mentioned it, I was like, no, I'm not doing grace over grind, and not to believers, right? Because I really thought like, no, that's the thing. The other thing that happened, you guys, was that I was inspired by this book that I read called The Science of Hope, I think is what it was called. No, it might have called Hope Rising, one of those things. But in that book, they were talking about hope, which is another word that I'm like, it feels kind of Christian-y, right? But they were talking about the science of hope, and they were talking about how hope is such a fundamental difference in culture and business and all of these things, right? And when I was reading it and looking, there were scientific studies, educators that were doing studies on this. And I'm like, there's no reason grace cannot be that same thing, right? We took love and turned it into servant leadership, right? We've got a hope that's now a strategy in business. I'm like, why can't grace be? So I was really inspired by that.
That's awesome. Well, tell us about some of the stories since the book's come out and since you've been working with people in a new way. Wow. Tell us some of the stories, like what's been happening with people and the people you've been reaching.
Yeah. Well, so far, the things that seem to be resonating the most have been in the area of sustainable rhythms, as well as the idea of listening deeply for clarity, just that the peace message. So that's been really fun to explore with people, right? Regardless of faith background. But I had an experience where I was speaking in front of a group, kind of cohort group of executives that was a bunch of different faiths. There were some believers in the room and some that were not. And we were having a conversation around these gifts of grace. And it's been fun to see how many people resonate with this idea of listening deeply for clarity. Okay, what does that look like? And how do I do that? And walking people through that's been fun, because the other part that people are experiencing is like, when you say, I had this experience, this was kind of like Christianese, I didn't realize it at the time. And I said, do something in your own strength. I was like, the grind is like doing things in your own strength. And there was all this confusion. Like, what do you mean by that? And I realized, oh, she's thinking, well, whose strength would I do it in if not my own, right? But then it opened up this really great conversation, you know? And so it was my accident. I didn't intend to say it that way, but I've been saying it that way for 12 years, you know? But I'm learning to just, to just have language that meets people where they are. And the curiosity of that leads to really some great conversations. Mm. And so that's what I've been experiencing so far. This is still pretty new for me. I just spoke in front of a group, a mixed faith group, for the first time, what, 3 months ago? The book only came out 4 months ago. And so this part of the journey is pretty new for me, even though I've been leveraging this as, you know, helping people that are kingdom-driven CEOs for years. This, the expansion to the audience, and this is me stretching in faith as I'm learning to grow and how to, you know, really steward this message in a way that reaches more people.
I think the grace message mainly is for us. Give yourself grace. And how many people do you run into, Sean and Shay, who are beating themselves up all the time? I made this mistake, that mistake, the other mistake. And like, I can give grace to everyone else except me. Can you talk a little bit about that in our last couple minutes, about how you speak to that?
Yeah, I think that one speaks a lot to the sustainable rhythm side of things. Cause a lot of times people are just like, it's just like, I've got to do all the things. I don't want to mess up. I want to make sure to be the answer to all of the things and all of the solutions. And it's like, you can't sustain that pace or that way. And so helping people to find their priorities in terms of, this is actually where I'm called to serve right now. Yeah. This is the assignment for right now, to then release the need to overextend themselves in other areas. And I find that when you give people permission to do that, they often take it. Sometimes there's no rounds and rounds and rounds of kind of working through mindset around it, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the desire of the heart, is not to run ourselves ragged, right? And so I find that's been really helpful for people to give themselves some space when they realize this is not sustainable. Like, this, you can't keep going like this, and you won't serve yourself or anyone else continuing to operate that way.
So I think it's really freeing. I love that you guys have formed something as an organization that helps entrepreneurs and CEOs and people who are on this journey to actually have this conversation somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's such a rare conversation, but it needs to be in more places. A lot of times when you're at the head of an organization, you might use your employees, because you're with them all the time, be your sounding boards, or you might, you know, it might be your family at home, and they're not necessarily always the right people, because they're either working for you or they're your family attached in a different way. So the fact that you guys have formed this organization, that you've been pioneering this for so long, I just want to thank you for that. And I also want our audience to be able to get involved with that. So tell us all about your organization, how people can get involved, and tell us about the books, where we can find you.
Cool. So for those who are kingdom-driven entrepreneurs and you want to focus on that, you can go to kingdomdrivenentrepreneur.com. There's a wonderful community and movement to support you there. If you're interested in just this expression of grace for you at work, I encourage you to go to shaybynes.com and grab a copy of Grace Over Grind or Grace Under Pressure. Really, really good starting point.
Wow. Shay, you're the best. And we're so happy to have you. And for those of you who are listening, I wish you were watching, because she is the chief fire igniter, and she makes us all excited. And when we get off our times with Shay, we're all fired up. So thanks again, Shay, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media. social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.